What's fun is God can talk to you anytime, all the time, and the only thing that keeps him from talking to you is you. You go, I haven't been spending enough time with God. I have to get in a right place so I can talk to him. That's garbage. That's from the devil. The prodigal son, when he came home, the father ran to him and gave him everything again. God is not interested in you taking a long time to get back where you need to be. He just wants to talk to you. He wants to fellowship with you. So if you get in a place where you feel like you can't hear God, God can talk to you immediately. The stones will cry out. The donkeys will talk. Doesn't need you to be where you think you need to be. You just need to be available. You just need to say, God, talk to me. And he'll talk to you immediately. So don't ever let that stop you from talking to God. So that was just a little, nothing to do with the sermon. So, and he does, he talks to you every day. It's good to hear from him. I don't think I read this, but God desires spiritual growth for the church, but spiritual growth does not mean sinning less, it means dying more. The fruit of death is the reduction of sin. And the more dead you are, the less you'll sin. Being dead means this world is no longer a desire for you. Your desires are God's desires. And that's not a work. That's being in love. When you're in love, whatever your spouse wants, you want to do that because you're in love with them. And you don't care if it's obnoxious to you or doesn't seem right or whatever. You're just in love and you just do it. So you sin less. And when you're dead, you realize you don't need anything but God, and therefore sin has no purpose, and there's no reason to be angry, there's no reason to be jealous, there's no reason to be lustful. If God has given you everything, then God is everything, and you have his son Jesus, which is everything. And you realize that when your spirit is loud enough that you understand you have everything, and your flesh dies and no longer rules. It was funny, a couple weeks ago I realized I was listening to a Watchman Nee book, and he was talking about a spirit of rebellion, and oh man, it scared me. I was like, holy cow, I think I have a spirit of rebellion. It's funny and weird where you hear something and it just pricks you, and some people will run from that, and I go, that's what you're trying to show me, and I don't, that's good, thank you. And then I don't have to go, well, I better get rid of that. No, I go, thank you, God, for showing me what you're going to destroy in my life and to make me more in love with you, to get rid of that spirit of rebellion. I know, I think I talked about that a few weeks ago. And it's so subtle because, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, I don't sin a whole lot. I mean, I do stupid sins, but I don't do like the dumb major sins that the world thinks about. And so, I do much more subtle sins, and that's my spirit of rebellion is, you know, I waste time or, God wakes me up and I go back to sleep. You know, you guys ever do that? It's too early, God. 3:30 in the morning is way too early to be up. So it's good. I find sometimes if I'm listening, when he wakes me up early like that, I'll say, who do you need me to pray for? It's good, because, I mean, you wake up, it's random. Why do you wake up in the middle of the night? That's dumb. You shouldn't do that. Your body needs to sleep 8 hours, according to science. But we don't know whether we believe science or not. I always think when I'm tired, God, will you sustain me even though I'm tired? I've been working for 6 days straight, and then I'll go to church, and then I'll work for another 6 days straight, and I'm tired. I said, will you sustain me? I know he will, because he's God. We put God in a box. We don't understand that God can do whatever he needs to do with you just as long as you're available. Don't underestimate what he can do. You know, Jesus fasted for 40 days. I can't even get past two or three. But he did. So when you're with God, anything is possible. When you're in God, anything is possible. He can translate you like Andrew. Can take awful situations and turn them into glorious situations. You don't understand because our mind is so finite. And that's why it's good to spend time with him, to be fellowshipping with him, because then it's funny. I was saying to my mom yesterday about faith, and you take a lot of things you don't understand on faith, and you just go, well, God said it, so I'm going to believe it. And what's fun is when you start to see it, and you no longer need faith. It's just right in front of your face, and you understand it. And you're like, wow, that is so clear. I don't have to just believe it on whatever you have shown me, and now I don't even have to have faith. It's just obvious. And it's like, and it will never be broken again. The devil can never deceive me in that again. Well, I assume the devil can never. The devil's pretty good at his job. He's been at it for 6,000 years. Though he's not very creative. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed that. He comes at you with the same thing. You're like, hey, you want to try that again? You're like, man, come on, man. You've been around a long time. You should be more creative than that. I like to laugh at the devil. You guys ever laugh at the devil? You should. It's fun. He doesn't have anything. You know, he just has his little tricks. The Bible says that when we see him, we'll be like, really? That was it? That's what we were so bent out of shape over? That guy? And we'll realize that God is greater. I had this thought the other day, and I don't know, maybe Ian and I were talking about it, I don't know. It was interesting that I never realized God is everywhere at all the time, but the devil is not. You remember in Job, the devil had to, he said, I went to and fro. God is just everywhere. The devil had to go to and fro. He's not everywhere all the time. So it's like, he's not God. He can't be God. So he's nothing. He's an angel that wanted to be God. And that's we want to be God. You guys realize that? That's what Adam and Eve, they ate the apple because they wanted to be just like God, which was the devil's idea. Remember, he put that in Eve. Hey, do you want to be just like God? You should eat this apple. And Eve was like, she hadn't even thought of that. It wasn't even in her mind. She was just enjoying the garden. Wouldn't it be nice if we were in the garden, just enjoying it? And what's fun, Holly was talking about time. I have realized that God, it is so good that God takes his time. And he does. He feeds us incrementally. And as each new thing you learn, it expands. And I had this thing where it's like you have this much of the universe and then God opens up and it's like then it gets like this and then God opens up and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and you keep seeing more and more of the pieces start to come together and it's not confusing anymore. It's like you're starting to see what God has planned and it's exciting. You can, you know, the devil cannot confuse you anymore because you have the plan. It's easy to get overwhelmed. And when I do that, when I get overwhelmed, I say, oh, wait a minute, God's in control. Everything is according to his will. I don't have to worry about it. Because you go, how can I control this situation? You know, I mean, it'd be like I'm the breadwinner in the house. And that can be scary. But then if you trust God and go, God is going to do whatever he needs to do for me to be able to provide for my family. Then you just throw that one away. You go, I don't have to worry about that. Just get rid of that. Because that's the devil will like to bring that up and go, hey, I notice the work's getting a little slow. And you go, yeah, okay, so it is. Well, God will provide the work when I need the work. And he always does. And sometimes it comes at the last second. You're like, that was kind of exciting, God. That was like an adventure movie. And everything turned out right at the last second. And sometimes you're tired and you go, God, can I have a little extra in the storehouse? And then he go, hey, you remember the Israelites when they were in the desert? I told them, don't save the food for tomorrow because it won't be any good. Just let me give you your food every day. And you're like, oh, God, but there's no security in that. He's like, do you need security in this world or is your security in me? And you're like, yeah, you're right. My security is in you. I don't need to worry about what I'm going to wear or what I'm going to eat. You said you would provide that for me. So if you're not worried about that, then that's one less thing off your mind, and then you can start to, you know, because that's a big one. That's probably one of the biggest ones. And then you can be quiet and start to listen to God and spend time with God. I think that's the thing the devil has done with this world. He's made it so hard that we worry about everything and we get distracted and we don't seek God. You know, we work 8 to 10 hours a day, you know, 6 days a week, and then work around the house, and then, you know, go to church, and it's like, well, there's no time for God, because all I'm doing is working so I can pay the bills, you know. That's this whole world, you know, it's, you look at it and you go, wow, how is this even possible? I almost think it'd be fun to live in Africa where you live in a dirt hut and you have no responsibility except for to go gather food. You know, there's no bills to pay, no government breathing down your neck, you know. It's like, I think those guys, I saw a story about there's some tribes, I guess, still in the Amazon that people have never reached. And I'm thinking, they have no idea the junk that we go through. And they're just happy hanging out with the macaws and the leopards in the jungle. Like, that's a pretty good deal. But that's the devil. The devil will say, you know, you need to take care of all this stuff. And that's when you say, hey, God, you going to take care of this? And God says, yeah, I'm going to take care of it so that you can spend time with me. And you go, cool, I'm not going to worry about it then. I'm just going to let you do that, and you provide me with the work and the time and the energy. That's what I say, you know, you think you're running out of energy, and you're like, God, supply me with energy because I feel tired. I want to sleep. I don't want to wake up at 3. I want to just sleep in so I can go back to work tomorrow. So don't let the world keep you from spending time with God. While you're working, just spend time with God. While you're, you know, listen to scripture, talk to God. It's good. That's not even what I'm talking about today. I'm doing a dad. Just talking about. I think I'm gonna dig in. I'm gonna start in Ephesians because we finished John. And I talked a little bit about this last week in my testimony. I'll get to that part. So, Paul, an apostle of Jesus, Ephesians 1, of Jesus Christ through the will of God, to the saints being in Ephesus, and faithful in Jesus in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's fun to look up words. I've talked about in the past how you need to find out where things come from and what they mean, because a lot of times definitions get changed. I know I've said this in the past, but I've always wanted to make a t-shirt that said, gay means happy and queer means weird. You know, just take back those words. Those are our words. You can't have them. So, you got to go back to the true meaning of words. You know, you can be deceived because over time things change. The young kids nowadays, they say bet, that means yes, just so you guys know. If they're like, hey, you want to go out? And they'll say bet. And you're like, that doesn't make any sense. But it actually is short for you betcha. They change that word. So it's like they change things. So it's, people are always trying to be creative and repurpose things. So I'm, the two words that I want to look up are the word apostle and saints. Because when we think about saints, we think about dead people in heaven. That's not even usually what the Bible's talking about when it talks about saints. But let's talk about apostle first. Apostle is the Greek word apostello. Apo meaning away from, and stello meaning send. So to send away from. The intensification of stello focuses back on the source, the one sending. So who is sending? So if you look at it, this word isn't really used anywhere else. It's just used in the scripture. It's strongly connected to the sender, the one who sent him on his mission. The verb is used closely in connecting the Lord, who is the sender, to the believers. He personally commissions, as in John the Baptist, the 12 apostles, and also his holy angels. One apostle would be Jesus. God sent Jesus to earth. Hebrews 3:1 says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch that he hath builded the house, hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he hath built all things in God. So Jesus was an apostle. So we're sent out. In Ephesians, we're going to talk about the ministries. You know, apostle is one of them. So Paul was an apostle. He was sent out by God. So he had a calling from God. And it was because, you remember, originally Paul thought he was working for God, and he was going around killing all the believers. I think that's funny. I mean, it's not funny that he was killing believers, but it's like this guy thinks he's doing God's will, and he wasn't, because his God was the law of Moses. It wasn't God, but he didn't know that. He thought, I'm doing God's will. So Paul the apostle, and then saints. The Greek word is hagios. The fundamental of hagios is different. Okay. Hagios is the likeness of nature with the Lord, being different from the world. So a saint is not a dead person who's in heaven. I mean, there's saints in heaven. But it's someone who has the likeness or nature with the Lord. So, I mean, that's not what you think of. That's not what I think of when I think saint. That's what the Bible says. That's what it means. That's what the Greek means. It means the likeness of the Lord. It applies that of something set apart and therefore different, other than, because it is special to the Lord. So we are set apart and we are in the likeness of. Remember, that was God's original plan before Adam and Eve sinned, was for us to be, he said, God said to Jesus, let's make man in our own image. God's desire for us was to have a bride for his son. So, I mean, if you're going to, we don't go pick a monkey for a mate, you know. We go pick another person. So, that was God. God designed us in his own image because he wanted a bride for his son. I thought of something funny the other day. I thought women are always griping about the fact that they're sons of men. I said, well, we're going to be the bride of Christ one day, so you guys can relax. I was like, God, I want to be a bride. But we don't understand that. That's just it. It's like, again, that's a human thought. We don't understand what that means. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fantastic. Because we put our own spin on it. We got to go, God, what does that mean to be your bride? So, all right. Verse 3. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies with Christ. So we've got every spiritual blessing in heaven through Jesus. We have it. It's in heaven. We don't understand that because we're here and we're getting old and we have problems. And so we miss all that. We miss God. That's why we need to spend time with him, that we can see what he has for us, what his desire is for us. I know I've said this months back, but that was one thing that was so powerful to me, was when Luther said, you're not Paul, you're not Moses, you're not David. You are who you are, and you are exactly who God made you to be. So don't be those people. Be who God made you to be. Be your purpose. Your purpose wasn't to be David or Paul or any of those people. Your purpose is to be who you are. According as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, for us to be holy and without blemish before him in love, predestining us to be to adoption through Jesus Christ himself. To himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Okay. So when I was talking about this a little bit last week when I was giving my testimony, was that I've always understood that Jesus died for everybody and that God wants everybody to come to Him. But not everybody's going to choose Him. And that's the love of God, to give us that free will to choose Him or not. And that's hard for some people because, you know, I know our late friend Josh would always wrestle. He goes, well, there can't be a hell because God, a parent would never do that. And, you know, well, I mean, the Bible says there is, so we just have to go with that. We can't understand everything God has. And it was funny. I had this thought come into my mind that when Jesus died on the cross, it was like He bought everybody a train ticket to heaven, and you either choose to take the ticket or you don't. So because a lot of people say, well, you know, some people are predestined and some people are not. Well, that's because of foreknowledge that God already knew from the beginning of time, before time, who was going to choose Him and not choose Him. I mean, I always thought it was awful in the Bible that God made Pharaoh harden his heart. But it really, God already knew that Pharaoh was going to harden his heart and that wasn't ever going to choose him. And so He used him to bless His people. I mean, that's a weird thing. You're like, well, could he have been saved? You're like, no, God already knew. It's like, no matter what I do, He's never going to choose me. And that's because He gave us all a free will. When He designed us, He wanted somebody to love Him for Him and not because they had to. Because a creature has to do, I won't go there. Anyways. To the praise of the glory of His grace in which He favored us in the Beloved. So the Beloved is Jesus, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So that's another thing. You know, sins will hold you back from doing what God wants. But remember, they're already covered, past, present, and future. The reason, you know, you say, well, you need to ask forgiveness for your sins every day. Yeah, not because they're not already covered in the blood, because they are covered in the blood. Your sins are already covered in the blood. But it's like I unconditionally love my wife and she unconditionally loves me. And if I sin against her, I know she'll forgive me. But I ask her forgiveness anyways, because that's what you do when you love someone. You go, hey, I'm sorry I did that. I know that you're already going to forgive me. And I know that I'm already forgiven. But you do it because you want to be in right standing. Which He caused to abound toward us in all wisdom and understanding. So the forgiveness, the riches and grace. It's unending. So again, that takes away, I know what I was going to say, that takes away any excuse you have. I can't spend time with God today because I'm just not in the right place. That's dumb. God already took away that excuse. You know, He already said He's going to provide for you. He already said He's covered for your sin. So those are excuses He's getting rid of. That you just spend time with Him right where you're at. It's fun. It's fun when you have friendships where you can just be yourself. Those are the best friendships, where you just be exactly who you are. You don't have to hide any of your flaws. That's the way you are with Jesus. You don't have to hide any of your flaws. First of all, He already knows them all. So hiding them is silly. Like Monty said, He knows. He already knows. So why hide it? Just be yourself. And then in loving Him, you will be changed. The Bible says that. Beholding Him, we're changed. Beholding Him. Can you be? If you're not spending time with Him, are you going to behold Him? No, get in His presence. Behold Him, and you'll just be changed. It's awesome. And the fun thing is it's great. Because you think you have so much good going on down here, and it's all just worthless. Anyway. So let's be changed and begin to look like who we were meant to be. who we were designed to be, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Like that's what I was saying earlier, was we'd have to take a lot of things on faith, and we just go, well, God said it, so I'm going to take it on faith. And then it's fun when you see it come to fruition, or it gives you understanding, and you're like, oh man, that makes so much sense now. But you don't. God does things incrementally. It doesn't. You know, it's like when you're putting a puzzle together, you can't really see the picture at first. And as you put each little piece in, it becomes more and more and more clear as to what you're making or what's being made. Or like God's making the puzzle and you're just watching because we're not doing anything. We can't put it all together. He puts it together. For the administration of the fullness of time, to head up all things in Christ, both the things in heaven and the things here on earth in Him. So He already knows what's going to happen, and He has it all laid out, and it's perfect, and it's for our benefit. And that's what's exciting. You know, in the fullness of time, you think, why hasn't God come back yet? Well, He still has some more people that He wants to get into heaven. And that's awesome. And I think, will there ever be a time when there aren't? You know, it's like, how could that ever? But He knows. He knows. There's things that I will never have answers to and will never understand, and I don't even try. I just receive it. Go, okay. There'll be a time when there aren't going to be any more people that are going to want to see God, you know, or know God. In Him, in whom we have been chosen to an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of the One working all things according to the counsel of His own will. So, again, He set it up from the beginning. And that's what's exciting, because we're so worried about how things are working out. It's like, man, He already set it all up. It's like you can take never mind. Sorry, I got lots of random thoughts running through my head. Thank you, Jesus. That's one problem with being dyslexic. I don't know if you guys know that. Dyslexic people have lots of thoughts running through your head all at the same time. If you're not dyslexic, you should be happy about that. But it allows me to think about lots of things at one time. So that's a gift. I think that's fun that God created so many unique types of brains. Everybody doesn't just have the same kind of brain. They all think, you know, can process things differently. That just shows God's wonderfulness. The One working all things according to the counsel of His own will, for us to be the praise of His glory. What? We're going to be the praise of His glory? I always say that we don't understand it. We can't even comprehend. What does that mean? God, I'm wicked, and I'm going to be the praise of Your glory. And He's like, yeah, because you don't know who you are. I think I wrote something down the other day. It was something to that effect. It was, the Lord sees me in a way that I cannot see, and He knows who I will be. So that's exciting. So if God gave us a promise, and He said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete it. He sees what I can't see. I can't see. It's like, you know, it's like a guy who sees a big chunk of rock, and he goes, oh, I know what I can make out of that. And all I see is a big chunk of rock. And I watched a guy do that one time, and that's fascinating to me how they, because if you take away too much here or there, and then it's all messed up. But they can see it. And that's how God is. He sees us. He sees exactly who we're going to be when we're finished. And so that's good. So that's another thing I can say. Hey, well, I don't remember. I don't have to do it. I just have to be there for God. I have to be just a vessel for God. Spend time with God. Just get alone with God. For us to be the praise of His glory, the ones first trusting in Christ. in whom also you, hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is an earnest of our inheritance to the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his glory. So, our destiny is to be the bride of Christ. And God's plan was never derailed when Adam and Eve sinned. It didn't even change. He knew it was going to happen. And I talked about the prodigal son. That is probably my favorite story, because that is every one of us. My favorite part is just the delight of the Father. I mean, we all mess up, so that's not even interesting. But it's like the Father didn't care. He just loved the Son so much. God loves us so much. I remember where I was reading, and the thought came to me that God has everything, and so why are we worried about anything? If God has everything, he owns everything, he made everything, and he wants to give it all to us. My flesh would go two ways. It would go, I don't deserve it, or, yeah, bring it on. But that's because the flesh isn't, you know, the flesh is the flesh. But the Spirit is in relationship. And the Spirit goes, yeah, I'd like to spend eternity with you. And, you know, it's hard to explain what's going on in my mind. Because of this hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus, the love toward all the saints, I also do not cease giving thanks on your behalf, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So he's going on. He's moving from his entrance into talking about them. And it's true. I mean, I pray that for you guys. And I know the women pray that all the time. They come here on whatever it is, Tuesdays or Wednesdays. Wednesdays. Oh, yeah, Tuesday was the Bible study. And they pray. I want you guys to have an amazing revelation of God. I live every day in happiness and peace and in joy. And that's from God. That's not from me, because the world is garbage around me. I'm always complaining about how the government's taking all my money. But then I go, it's just like David in the Psalms. The David would go, oh, God, the world's coming against me. Oh, but you're in control. So you go from despair to elation, because you remember the truth. It's good. I mean, the truth doesn't mean anything unless there's something opposite. Good doesn't mean anything unless there's a bad. You know, you can say it's all good, but if there's no bad, it would have no reference. So it's like, oh, it's bad, but you're in control, so it's good. And it's like, and you'll even take the bad and you'll make it good. That's the fun part. It's like, and that doesn't make any sense. That makes no sense. How could God take garbage and turn it into treasure? You know, that's like, I love gardening, and that's one of the best things about gardening is you could take the waste and turn it into fertilizer, which makes the new plants grow. That doesn't make any sense. How could you take bad and make good out of it? But that's how God sets up the whole world like that, so you see him in everything. You see his design. You see his wisdom. Let's see, where was I at? I'm going to go ahead. I'll read that again. Because of this hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love toward all saints, I also do not cease giving thanks on your behalf, making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul is praying for all the saints that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. the eyes of your mind having been enlightened for you to know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us, the ones believing according to the working of his mighty strength, which he worked in Christ in raising him from the dead. Yea, he seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and authorities and power and lordship and every name being named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet, and he gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, fulfilling all things in all. It's funny the way my mind works. So people say, well, you just need to study. And I go, well, no, I have to do, and then I can study, and then my mind will understand. And I think God does that a lot. I started with, don't worry, always come into God's presence no matter how you are. But it is true, the more time you spend with God, the easier it is to hear him, the more clear it is when you hear him. The revelations you get are always backed up by somebody else hearing the same thing. God isn't just talking to you alone, he's talking to everybody. And it's fun when you come into the presence of somebody else who's been talking to God and you go, man, that's the same word I got. Or that complements the word that I got. He designed our destiny from before time began to be his bride, to spend eternity with him. And that analogy that I gave about the train, there's God, when Jesus died, he bought a ticket for everybody. That's our mission field, is to go. Any person you see, they have a ticket. Whether or not they use that ticket, only God knows. God has foreknowledge. But we're to be that salt and light. It was funny, I was thinking about Mary told me not to talk about the different denominations, so I won't mention any. But I was thinking about how they witness. and some, some don't witness at all, and some are very brazen about it. And it's like, but the Bible says just to be salt and light. People will be drawn to you. You will say things and people will want to know. God brings people into your path. There have been a few times when I've heard him say, go talk to that person, and I didn't do it. I could see where that person was or sitting or standing, we're not supposed to have regret. Remember, God, don't ever regret. But it's like, I know that God told me to talk to that person, so, and I was rebellious, and I did not do it, because I thought, well, I'm going to make an idiot of myself. Who cares? I'm already an idiot. What does it matter? So if God tells you to talk to someone, go talk to him, because he already has them in the right place to receive. Their ground is fertile and it's ready. And this new generation, they are hurting and they are ready. But you have to ask God how to talk to them, because their minds work so differently than any other generation. I don't quite understand them. I don't understand. It was funny, I heard something funny the day. Some guy was complaining about millennials, and they're like, well, you're lazy. And then the millennial says, well, yeah, well, you raised us. It's like, oh, yeah, touche. So ask God for wisdom on how to talk to these young people, because they are going to be the mighty generation that's coming. There is a falling away of the church. I agree with everything Lori said in my spirit. I know. I have heard all that stuff, and it made complete sense. And same with Holly and Deborah and Monty. It's awful, because you want everybody to go to heaven. But But we have to know that God knows that not everybody's going to go to heaven because he gave us all free will. It is everybody's, God has made a way for everyone to go to heaven, so whoever wants to go can go. And that seems so cheap, but it's not. So I want to encourage you guys to spend time with God every day, even though it's hard. If it has to be early in the morning or late at night or whenever. I mean, I do it all day. That's a fun thing. God's there all the time. But he has a mighty purpose for you. And this world is about to be turned on its head. And if you're hearing from God, you won't be confused or led astray. You'll know right what to do. The answer is always seek God for your answers, because we can use our own minds and try to figure out what the answer is. But, you know, first of all, it uses a lot of energy and it's an unnecessary waste when you can go right to the Creator. Excuse me. I still assume God's coming back in my time, but I don't know now. I think as I'm getting older, I think maybe God's going to come back a little later. Things seem to point to that. That's why I can't use my own wisdom. You know, there's the virgins, and they had to be ready because we don't know the time or the hour. We can guess, but it's probably going to be wrong because the Bible says that no one will know the time or the hour. It definitely was not 1994. That was what my dad said. Was it 94 or was it 2006? 96, sorry. 96, I missed it by 2 years. So, I'm going to end with that. Spend time with God every day so that you can hear him, so that when things start to crumble, and they're going to crumble, whether they do now immediately. So I'm not a prophet. I'm an evangelist. So I don't know when that's going to happen. Some people say it's going to happen now. Some people say, I don't care. I just want to talk to God. God, what do you say? Let's see, the virgins weren't worried about when and what and where. They were just ready. So just be ready. So that whatever comes, you're ready. You're not running around trying to find oil. Because when that marriage supper happens, it's going to be awesome. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everyone that is here. Bless them on as they go out today. Keep them safe and let all their speech be edifying. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Monty, can you do the benediction, please? Yes, Ian.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. When you were speaking about the devil, like laughing at him, and whenever he comes at you, he doesn't.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that is true. That is something that I read recently. Battle's already been won, so we need to start acting like it.